Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say. We're calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, we talk about First Nation people looking after land and sea, country. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Paul Gamblin. He's from the Australian Marine Conservation Society. And talk about coral bleaching underway at Ningaloo Exmouth Gulf is the warning we cannot ignore. On the line, Paul, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Trevor. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Very important conversation when we talk about Mother Earth and talk about the planet. Global climate is happening, and here we have coral bleaching underway there in your area, the WA there.
Yeah, it's really concerning. We've seen some warnings from leading scientific organisations in the US and Australia that monitor sea surface temperature with satellites. Mm. And they've been warning that there's very hot water off the northwest of Australia. And unfortunately, it's been moving down the coast and it's been bleaching corals as it goes. And we've seen the first evidence of bleaching Exmouth Gulf and Ningaloo this year. So yeah, it's quite distressing for those of us who care a lot about coral reefs and the marine environment.
And look, for our listeners out there who are not understanding, especially people living dead centre of Australia with no water around them, what is coral bleaching there, Paul, please?
Sure, no, it's a really good question. So what gives coral its colour and actually most of its food is an algae. It's called zooxanthellae. It's an algae that lives on the coral. And when it's really important, it keeps corals alive and healthy. Mm. Happens when the water gets too hot, as is happening now off Ningaloo, is that the coral actually gets rid of the algae when it gets stressed. Mm. And if the water stays hot enough for a long enough time, the coral will actually die. It can't recover from that.
And well, that would be a snowball effect, and it'll then harm marine life too, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And coral reefs support about a quarter of the world's known marine species. So they're a small part of the ocean, but they're like the rainforests of the ocean. They have so many different species, and so much is going on there, which is why we need to work so hard, so much harder, really, to protect them.
So all governments and presidents of the world need to come to the table and stand to attention and act on global climate.
Absolutely. I mean, every time we see a photograph of bleached coral, it's a warning that we're not doing enough. You know, we need to do so much more to move away from dirty fossil fuels and to really embrace the potential and the positive things that can come from renewable energy. And Australia is suffering more than most of the world in terms of the impacts of climate change, but we have so much to gain from shifting to renewables, including in regional Australia and Queensland and Western Australia, for example, and elsewhere. So we're just not doing it fast enough. We really have to get a wriggle on and get on with the job. We're just not moving fast enough. And bleached reefs are a reminder that we're moving, but we're not moving nearly quickly enough.
So you've actually got an uphill battle, haven't you, Paul, in regard to protecting coral, but with governments, like I said, not standing attention in regard to global climate, it is an uphill battle.
Look, it's tough, but I must say we're seeing more and more people realising just what's at stake on both sides of the country, particularly with coral reefs. You know, it's a really clear example of what's going on, and we've also had bushfires and floods. I mean, the evidence is piling up. But coral reefs are sending us this signal on both sides. And the Great Barrier Reef, which has already had so much extensive bleaching and has suffered such a lot, and now it's the West Coast. So both sides of the country, the marine environment is crying out, calling for our help. And we really need to heed that warning and get on with it. And as people are considering, you know, how they might react and engage in the election, I think it's really important that people talk to the candidates in their area and ask them what they're doing about climate change. What are they doing about the environment? What are they doing about the oceans?
Well, yeah, you make a good point. We've got the federal election coming up, 21 May, and so that is a good question to put across the table to the so-called candidates who are throwing the hat in the arena.
Absolutely. It's a discussion that we should be having more than any other as far as we're concerned. It, you know, looking after our environment, it's the basis for everything, as we well know. And we need to take much greater care of it. It's important for people on country. It's important for local economies. It's important for just the nature, the incredible nature of these places. And so it's a source of inspiration, right, for so many of us. So we need to take that inspiration and really make clear to all political parties and all candidates that we want them to really take action. We need to move beyond talk. We need to take action. We need to take the pressure off locally, our marine environment, and we need to deal with climate change.
Well, don't worry about that. They're listening. This program, national program, and of course we have government listen to our conversation. So, look, it's another iron in the fire, so to speak, in regarding looking after planet Earth. But thank you for your yarn there, Paul, and all the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Paul Gamblin, his name is, from the Australian Marine Conservation Society, and talking about the coral bleaching underway at Ningaloo Exmouth Gulf. Is the warning we cannot ignore. We need to act on it now. Global climate is real, and that's the message delivering regarding protecting coral. If you don't protect the coral, it can affect the marine life as such, and then also food from the ocean. So there it is. Keep it alive. Most important thing. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Gotta get a good job. my mother. Her heartbeat kept me whole. In perfect time together, my mind, my body, my soul. For there's nothing so sweet as my mother's heartbeat. Da da da. My mother's heart was beating when I first touched the ground, chafing my mother's keeping. My mother's heartbeat. Ah, my mother's heart stopped beating one dark and dreadful day. Lord, all I inside my room, oh, but it lulls me to sleep. Waiting through my darkest night, waiting is my rhythm of life, the sound of my mother's heartbeat. My mother's heart is beating somewhere in this earth, and at night while I lay sleeping, I'll dream sweet dreams of her. For there's nothing so sweet as my mother's heartbeat.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We're here at First Nation Radio Station BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. To Delhi, and happy Easter Monday to you, Delhi Mob. Hope you're enjoying all the Delhi chocolates and do a couple of blocks there after the chocolate. And there it is. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the Delhi student entrepreneur, Ben Tyler, Bush Tucker, and Big Dreams for Benin entrepreneurial CDU student. That's Charles Darwin University on the line. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor, and thanks for having me on the show. Beautiful Larrakia country.
Darwin, beautiful, my brother. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Ben.
Yeah, so my name is Ben Tyler, and I'm a Benin man from Kakadu and West Arnhem Land.
Mm.
My family connection is to Murrumburra country in the central area of Kakadu, which is my mum's country. And a few years back in 2017, I started a business called Kakadu Kitchen.
How deli are you, my brother? And we're talking taka, talking food. You'll have everybody's attention. They're all tuning in now.
Yes, bush taka. So, you know, that's all our mob love, bush taka. And, you know, that keeps us healthy and strong, having
yeah.
that connection to bush taka. And that's the main message, you know. And
you would have started just as a cook or a chef or something to that effect, and now turning it into a business as such. Here we have Kakadu Kitchen. So tell us how it all began for you, Ben.
Yeah, well, I don't have any formal background in chefing. I just grew up.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. I grew up with family, and then I wanted to do something with bush tucker, and
good.
You know, you sort of you learn as you go, and that's what I've been doing. It's a journey, and I was interested in looking at mum's kitchen table in the community, and it got me thinking about what was on the table.
Mm.
And there was like salt, there was pepper, and I was thinking, where does salt come from?
Mm.
And I didn't know where the salt came from, which country or which how did it get packaged. I didn't know anything about it. And then there were other things on the table, like crocodile tail, kangaroo, or
most people look at the food and think, all right, let's dig in. You're thinking, gee,
yeah.
wonder where this come from, how did they make that? Look at the colour of that. You went in depth of the food on the table.
I went in depth, yeah. So I started taking pictures of what was
Shut
on the
up.
Table, you know.
Well, people are picking out you there. Click, 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 click. Too funny.
Yeah, and then I put it on, I started an Instagram, and I was just documenting what my family were eating, like the bush tucker, the Benin diet. So I was interested in the Benin diet and, how the indigenous diet, is super healthy for us mob. And then looking at what else is on the table, there were unhealthy things on the table like tobacco or can of Coke, or I was thinking, okay, well, the idea is to, that's where the sort of idea came, is like the idea is to replace what's on the table with bush tucker and local stuff and more healthier things where we know where they come from.
Yeah, too early, brother. So are you you're still studying? You're still at Charles Darwin University, or you're running your business now, Kakadu Kitchen?
Absolutely. So I'm still studying. I've recently gone from full-time to part-time. So, from three units down to one unit now. So, and that will just help me while the business is
blooming,
while I'm growing the business.
Growing the business, yes.
Yeah.
Good, brother.
And so that's been really helpful. And you would have heard about my lecturer, Dr. Ulrike Katchell.
Mm.
And she's the coordinator of the business unit at CDU. And she's also my lecturer in entrepreneurship.
Too deadly, brother. I'm looking at your TikTok here, brother. Very colourful. You, of course, but the food and also the scenery behind the food, brother.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
So are you looking at, when you say Kakadu Kitchen, so do you have a shop or a restaurant as such, or are you a mobile, brother, that takes the food to the people?
That is a really, really great question, because I get asked this question a few, often, where's your kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
So, the kitchen is 20,000 square kilometres,
65,000
years old.
Yes.
It's Kakadu.
Exactly. Belongs to you.
that's it.
So when they walk on country in Kakadu, they're walking in your kitchen.
They're walking in the kitchen.
Yeah, too beautiful, my brother. I've got goosebumps here. Look, very inspirational, my brother. How old are you, brother?
I just turned 45 on the 7th of April.
All right, 7th of April, 45.
I'm a 1977 baby.
Yep, beautiful, brother. Look, fantastic. So you're inspiring other young brothers and sisters. And when you're doing something that you love and you're getting paid to do it, the best job in the world, you know what I mean? But then operating on country, you can't beat that, brother.
Yeah, yep. I'm away from country at the moment. I'm living
Larrakia country.
But that community is really important because that's a big part of who we are, you know. First Nations mob across Australia. And whether you're in the city or out rural or remote, you know, that sense of community is always there. And the important thing is that we have a voice. So,
yes.
I can inspire other mob to have a voice in the bush food industry. That's what it's all about.
It is too, my brother. Now, as a black man, as an entrepreneur, as a bush tucker man, you must be coming across some deadly chefs who may want to have a chat to you. Have you had that happen yet?
Yes.
Well, drop some names. Who you've been hanging out with? Who's come to you?
Yeah, well, you would know sister girl Sharon Windsor.
Yes.
From Indigenous Earth. She came up to Kakadu and spent some time with our family and helped us with Taste of Kakadu in the first year that the festival was run.
Yep.
And that happens in May every year. Did a couple of cooking shows. So Gardening Australia came out and I cooked up some cheeky yams, and some water lily salad.
Hey, mouth getting watery in here. I'm watering my mouth here. Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And I'm looking here. Adam Leo?
Adam?
Yeah. Any yarn there?
Yes. Ben.
And SBS? Yeah, SBS. So.
Yes, Adam and Ben Eat Australia.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, they came up and so I taught him about cooking goose, magpie goose, bumaru, and got him to taste some of the brain.
See, and the language goes with the bush tucker as well, my brother.
Hey?
The language goes with the bush tucker as well, which is powerful.
Bush tucker goes with, language.
Yeah, of course. It. Yeah. Exactly, my brother. Yeah. Oh, man, you're fired up. I better go to lunch.
All right.
Good yarning with you, my brother. And how do people get in touch with you?
People can follow me on social media, Kakadu Kitchen.
Kakadu Kitchen.
At Kakadu Kitchen on Facebook.
Yes.
Or at Kakadu Kitchen _Kakadu_Kitchen on Instagram.
Yes.
That's the best places to find me. I'm still developing my website, so that's coming.
All right, beautiful, my brother. Listen, lovely yarning with you. You stay black, you stay deadly, stay strong. You get back in your deadly kitchen. You keep doing what you do, my brother, and keep in touch, eh?
Oh, awesome. Thanks so much, Brother Trevor.
Bye, Ben. Bye. Yo. Two deadly beautiful yarn there. Ben Tyler, student, entrepreneur, and Bush Tucker, and big dreams for Bingi entrepreneurial students from CDU, Charles Darwin University. Territorian there at Larrakia Country up there at Darwin, but he stems from Kakadu, of course, in the name of his business endeavour, Kakadu Kitchen. And he said when you ever walk on Kakadu, you're walking in his kitchen. How deadly is that? To deadly mob, look, happy Easter Monday. Stay deadly, stay black, stay strong, and enjoy them googie eggs, you mob. To deadly.
Da 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 da. Nipununga, the chosen one. Nipununga, love for everyone. Nipununga, heard the blood cry out loud and clear, and she had no doubt. A storm is coming, and our pain will heal. No fear nor harm for those who feel. A storm is coming round your heartfelt morn, shedding light on this age's dawn. Nipununga, the chosen one. Nipununga, love for everyone. Nipununga, heard the blood cry out loud and clear, and she had no doubt. She heard the blood cry out from the ground. She gave us strength in the force she'd found. And the storm is rising to cleanse the land. Wash the blood and its restless sound. Nipununga, the chosen one. Nipununga, she loves everyone. Nipununga, heard the blood cry out loud and clear, and she had no doubt. Nipununga, the chosen one. Nipununga, love for everyone. Nipununga, heard the blood cry out loud and clear, and she had no doubt. Loud and clear, and she had no doubt.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Jump in, my baby showed up and said, I will tell you when I'm torn down, almost left with the ground. Why I feel like this, cause my baby can't be found. Well, I love you, babe, with all my heart and soul. Love like mine will never grow old. I love you in the morning and in the evening too. Every time you leave me, I get mad with you. I'm tore down, almost left with the ground. Why I feel like this, cause my baby can't be found. Might love like mine is out of sight. I'd die for you if you want me to. Every time you leave me, I get mad with you. I'm torn down, almost there with the ground. Why I feel like this, cause my baby can't be found. We'll be right back.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakuri, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say, but call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, shocking research, huge numbers of parents struggling with parenthood, anxiety and depression. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Nicole Hyatt, founder and executive director of COPE, Centre of Parental Excellence. On the line, Dr. Nicole, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation, a very important space that you're working in regarding our beautiful mums out there. A huge number of parents struggling with parenthood, anxiety and depression. Are we talking numbers are higher because of COVID-19, or where are we at with the Dr. Nicole?
Look, certainly we know that the event of COVID has put additional risk factors in place. So we know that it, for many mums, expectant mums and new mums, it did increase rates of anxiety during pregnancy and postnatally, the whole COVID situation. But we know there's a number of stresses that are there and challenges that people are experiencing right along the journey. And often these are not picked up or identified, and as a result, people are not getting the treatment or the support that they need, and that's ultimately increasing rates of anxiety and depression in new mums.
All right, and regarding females that they're mothers that they're having babies with a partner or without a partner, in regards to, you know, single parenting, is that a factor as well?
We know that single parents can have additional challenges if they don't have good support around them, and this is where it's really important to draw on family members and the community around us for support at this time. But motherhood can be a very isolating time. The support in the relationship can also be affected by the quality of the support. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we know that family violence also increases in pregnancy or occurs for the first time. And this is why it's really important that we make sure we talk to health professionals about family violence, because it is an at-risk time and we've really got to protect the health of the mother and her bub.
Yes. And also I'm thinking of women out there, sad as it is, but who have been through a miscarriage, especially for first child, coming up to the pregnancy, well, anxiety would build there too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So the research also told us people spoke about their experience of loss and grief after losing a baby, whether that was from stillbirth or miscarriage. Mm. But one of the things about miscarriage particularly was often it's brushed off by family or friends, but in particular health professionals, actually. Just because miscarriage is common, it doesn't make it less devastating for the person who's experienced a miscarriage. And so it's really important that we do acknowledge that loss when someone has experienced a miscarriage. And this is particularly also, well, just as much for people who have gone through infertility treatment. Mm. And each time they have a miscarriage, it's another, reality that time might be running out, and it places more pressure on them if they're unable to fall pregnant easily. And that, it does have impacts on their anxiety and depression levels as well.
Sure. The other question I'd have is regarding our professionals, and when we're talking like midwives and what have you, are they at the table and regarding these outcomes of the research and regarding the findings?
Well, they certainly will be. We'll be talking closely with the frontline health professionals, including the Australian College of Midwives, about the results and how we can really work with professionals right across the board to do better in some areas. Mm. So one of those areas is better screening for mental health.
Yes.
But in particular, another area which was identified by women is that they don't feel like they're getting proper care is around the issue of birth trauma. And here, when someone's had a difficult birth or things haven't gone to plan, again, they felt that their experiences were minimised or brushed under the carpet. And this only added to their trauma and led to ongoing anxiety and potentially postnatal depression.
Mm-hmm.
Because that they weren't offered debriefing and they weren't given the support they need. So today we're launching, we've just launched a national awareness campaign called The Truth. And it's really about exposing all of these different challenges that people might experience and letting people know where they can go for more information.
Yes.
And support about all of these different types of issues that can come with having a baby.
And when the survey, I'm just checking, First Nation women, were they involved?
Yes, they were. And we found that a lot of these results were right across the board. But of course, it's very important that we make sure that we have appropriate, culturally appropriate resources for First Nations people. And here we do work with experts, Aboriginal families and NGOs to make sure we're asking them the right questions when it comes to screening. And we have specialist resources for this First Nation population.
It just shows you how important surveys are to know where you're at in regarding moving forward and to make sure we're dotting the I's, ticking the T's, crossing the T's in regard to the space that you're working in and protecting our vulnerable parents out there or parents-to-be in the parenthood.
That's right. It's very important that we keep the finger on the pulse and we're aware of the current challenges. You know, things are changing all the time. We know the impact of things like social media on awareness and where people get their information, but it also can have a negative impact on, unrealistic expectations and feeling like you're failing because you're not having the experience that everyone else seems to be having. But in reality, that's not actually the truth. And that's what the Truth Campaign is all about. It's exposing the truth and what parenthood can really be like, so people feel like don't feel like they're the only ones who are going through this and that there's help available.
And, look, thank you. You're founder and executive director of COPE, Centre of Parental Excellence. Have you got offices around the country?
We're based in Melbourne, but we do work with partners all around the country. And so we're very much about making sure that services on the ground have access to the information and resources to support the people that they see and provide care for.
Yeah, beautiful. Dr. Nicole, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your family. Stay safe, and to all our beautiful women out there, stay strong.
Thank you very much.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Dr. Nicole Hyatt, her name is, founder and executive director of COPE, Centre of Parental Excellence. And shocking research, huge number of parents struggling with parenthood, anxiety and depression, and far too many parents to be simply not reaching out to get the help that they actually that is actually out there. And this new campaign highlights to regional peoples, it's always better to ask for help. And too many parents are facing issues with depression, anxiety. In some cases, some fear they may harm their baby. Your full confirmed details of the pre-recorded interviews are there for the people to take on board. But thank you for your yarns here on National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.